Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined here by my colleague, my good friend, formerly the artist known as the host who doesn't like toast, A1 Mr. Brian E. Roach. I don't know if that works that way, Brian, but you are now formerly the artist. We'll come up with an acronym for that, too. How you doing, bud?
I'm fine. That's too hard for me to come up with an acronym for. H-W-D-L-T. Widdillet. They called me Widdillet.
I was going to do a stepbrothers quote, like Pam, two M's, but you're not a stepbrothers. You're not a Will Ferrell guy. We won't get into that again. People want us to talk football right out the gate. Well, too bad. We're not going to. Although, I must say, this is like the first thing on the order of business. Number six on the jersey.
BFP.
Colleague of ours, Neil Coulong, works with the, you know, wire sites, USA Today Sports, formerly of some other smaller endeavors around, maybe in the Steelers circles, if you've been following these sites, blogs, podcasts, and stuff for a while. And he's been on the show. Neil calls him Ficker Kicker. And I'm starting to, I know, no, it's, I not like our the, thing.
I like Big Fat Punter better. Although I like Thicker Kicker, too. I'll give Neil credit for that one. I like it, but I like Big Fat Punter better.
Was there ever a doubt that he was going to win the punting job? Let's start right there.
Since the first two times he kicked. I think the first two kicks he did was like, okay, we're done.
Future Hall of Famer. Give him the gold jacket right now.
No.
Well, he was in Canton. No. That's what we were all like.
But no.
And that was the first time we saw him. I mean, just think about the coaches. I was saying, like, Jordan Berry was there just so he didn't have to punt as much, maybe. 17-game season. He's still a young guy, but, I mean, the other thing was, I think they were trying to there was a punter trade yesterday. I think it was Green Bay or somebody, but there was a punter moved around to avoid the waiver wire scenarios. So just so people know, any player that's not a vested veteran of 4 years minimum, I was looking this up on Kalen Ballage because he wasn't a vested veteran, is subject to waivers and going through the waiver process. And so all of these players that were cut Tuesday at 4 o'clock now have to go through this waiver process if they're not a vested veteran. And that means right now, as of now, until sometime in the middle of the season, it follows the draft order. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, who chose number one overall, are first in waiver priority and so on and so forth. It is still draft order. It's not like somebody trades their waiver spot or anything like that. So teams that moved up or anything like that don't move into a higher waiver position. It's not the exact draft order, but it's pretty close. Anyways, the Jaguars could take somebody. This isn't like your fantasy league. When they decide to claim someone off of waivers, they could claim five someones. It doesn't matter. They have the top priority. And that's, I think, the reason why they were shopping a lot of players around. And this is how you get parity in the NFL, too. The first round of cuts, some teams got to cut players. Look at the Steelers. They're a wide receiver factory all the time. So maybe they put someone out on waivers, and one of these other teams near the bottom is going to improve their roster that way, et cetera, et cetera. So not only through the draft, but through waivers. And, of course, if the player completely clears waivers, isn't claimed by any of the 32 teams, they could become a free agent. Now, anyone that is a vested veteran of 4 years or more, they become a free agent immediately, free to sign anywhere. So they're not subject to waivers. And that was kind of when I was trying to shape some of this, Brian, you weren't here with me. Some of my predictions off a little bit. We'll go through the position groups. But just out the gate here, somebody like Jordan Berry, free agent, vested veteran. Josh Dobbs. Now, Josh Dobbs is an interesting scenario here. People are like, well, the Steelers are doing all this hocus pocus magic. He's on injured reserve. No, he's on injured reserve. That's it. His season's over. Close the door on it. He did not make the 53-man roster.
Correct.
Therefore, he's not eligible to be designated for return. He cannot go to a practice squad because he wasn't released. He was put on injured reserve. So his season's over. Now, whether or not he's hanging around on the sidelines, you know, speculation. Ben likes him. He joins him on the bench, whatever. You know what I mean? Like Ben was doing when he was hurt, Ryan Shazier on the sidelines. Perhaps just find it a little odd for a guy that, you know, fourth quarterback would be doing that, but we'll see. Maybe the Steelers really value this. This may have been a move to keep him with the team, but as we know from even previous guests that we've had on the injured reserve list, they're usually not with the team a whole lot, period. And then you got COVID rules and all these other things with travel. So I wouldn't necessarily guarantee that, but I just wanted to, put those two things out there, Brian. Should we put one third one out there?
Well, let me talk about Dobbs for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
So the thing about it that is unusual is they certainly could have released him injured if they chose to. So the fact that they kept him just on injured reserve, not releasing him, does indicate they have some kind of a plan for the young man, whether it's an insurance policy towards the end of the season so they keep him around in case either Haskins or Rudolph either doesn't work out or flees the building. And they decide they can't afford Rudolph next season or something of that nature. Although I think how long was his contract? Was it a year or is it two?
I'm sorry. He's on year five. Year five.
Right.
So he's had 4 years already in the league because he was with Jacksonville.
Yes.
And he
would have been a free agent.
He didn't play, he was on an active roster.
Yeah.
So he's never been
Dobbs
on.
Was.
Dobbs was. So yeah. just to clear that up, it's not practice squad. It's a 53 active roster, of which he was.
Yeah. Yep. But what I say, Rudolph's contract that he just signed, was it a year or was it two?
It's just a year extension, so he goes through 2022.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So that, you know, if for whatever reason that doesn't work out, Rudolph becomes too expensive, whatever. I just think they're taking a flyer on Dobbs, who's a known quantity, knows the offense, Ben likes him. There's also who can say whether maybe Dobbs, being the smart guy that he is, might decide, I like football, I don't like rockets, even though I'm a rocket scientist. Maybe he wants to transition into coaching. This is a step to keep him around and let him fool around on the sidelines and do some stuff. I don't know. But clearly they have a plan. Otherwise, they just release the guy, you know, released injured.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the difference, too. So there's DeMarcus Christmas, I believe, is one more player. And then Antoine Brooks. This is the one that I had missed until I looked at the roster yesterday. And this is actually kind of a funny thing because people looking at rosters and depth charts, someone put out on one of these websites, Brian, that Kendrick Green was demoted. And he was never listed as the starting center through the entire preseason. It's always been J.C. Hassenauer. The entire time, someone wasn't paying attention and doing their homework. So I got to put that out there. Man, the amount of just dis and misinformation that's floating around a lot of the social media, Twitter, the Facebook groups, Instagram. There's somebody that was talking about TJ Watt's contract, and they go, according to sources close to me, they don't identify the sources or themselves. They're just like a random, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers Sports Nation account or something like that. And everybody's sharing it. And they're trying to say, well, the Steelers are content. They're just tag them next year. TJ will get paid at some point. I don't know how much of his non-full participation this training camp was due to contract. He didn't talk. The front office hasn't really talked. It's more speculation, just like the whole rumor mill with the backup quarterback competition. We'll talk about that in a second. The other quarterback, of course, with rumors. Just say no to Cam Newton. Again, please.
Just stop.
He's done.
God.
He's done. It's I put this out yesterday. If you complain about touchdown drives or lack thereof with Mason Rudolph in the preseason, Cam Newton had 9 games last year where he did not throw a touchdown pass whatsoever. He only threw 9. You compare his 2020 to Mason Rudolph's 2019, where Rudolph played fewer games, attempted fewer passes, and Rudolph threw more TDs and fewer interceptions. It's the guy ran for 12 touchdowns. Yeah, that's great. 7 of them were a yard or two out. Belichick does quarterback sneaks. He's not Todd Haley. He's not, you know, maybe Randy Fichtner was working with that a little bit, but it's not the same thing there. Cam was just, he completed 65 88.8% of his passes, which is like very good for him. It's like one of the like his second best. They only allowed him to throw 368 passes the entire year in 15 games. If you can't make the team under Bill Belichick, he's 32 years old. And he's never really been a 60% completion guy. Those were the, you know, the dink and dunk, the running backs in New England, et cetera, et cetera. I'm completely over it. One multiple TD pass game. That was against the Jets in the final week of the season. And he went on in two incredible droughts here as well. He went four games without a touchdown pass from week five on. And then went from weeks 11 to 15, so five games with only one touchdown pass. If you want to pull your hair out as far as backup scenarios, and you're so concerned about Ben Roethlisberger, or like the one guy I saw comment and say, the Steelers still need to find their franchise quarterback. Yes, I saw that in the comments too. I'm like, he's on the roster. It's just that he's 39. You know what I mean? I think I know what he meant, but it didn't read the same way. Cam Newton, not the guy. I don't want to hear it from anyone, and I don't know that very many NFL teams will come a-knocking unless there's like an injury or something else that happens, especially this late in the process.
Dire circumstances, that's when you'll get signed. Other than that, forget it. It's not – it's just, like I said, it's that grass is always greener philosophy, shiny new toy, except this shiny new toy is old, broken, and bent. So, you know, stop. Just stop.
It is. Father Time, undefeated, as we say, and
always.
He's never been the finesse pocket passer. His strengths have always lied in being Superman and running the ball and stuff. And he still did some of that last year, but that's not New England's offense. I think that's the most shocking thing of the entire, even anything that went on with the Steelers roster, is not only that Cam isn't going to be the starting quarterback. We may have to defend making fun of Mac Jones, but let's face it, Mac Jones, I don't think he might be right for that system and what Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels.
I'm going to hold my rebuttal or refusal. No, you know what? I don't care. He could be TB2 and I'll still say he's a doughboy. So the hell with it.
What I'm trying to say is somebody's going to say, look what he did there. And I don't think he would do the same thing in Pittsburgh. It's just, it's not the right fit.
Look, he won a starting job against a quarterback who was old, broken, and out of his prime. So, wow, there you go.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Cam's completely off the roster, man. I mean, that's the thing that really stands out to me. So it's like it's not even this guy who became a backup and lost a job. He lost a job entirely. He's homeless.
Maybe he will fit their system very well, and maybe he will suck eggs. We will find out.
We will find out. All right, Brian, into the meat of the programming here, 53-man roster. We'll find out about practice squads, waiver wire pickups. Maybe there'll be another type of trade. I don't know. Does Kevin Colbert still have any draft picks left? I know there's compensatory ones that are in play here eventually, but I think we were under an impression that just about every draft pick on this roster was going to have a chance to make it, and a guy by your namesake didn't. He's the only one, but we'll get there with the defense. But the quarterbacks, it's like anybody outside of Pittsburgh paying attention to what's going on, they're all like, Dwayne Haskins is going to make the roster. He's going to – yeah, no kidding. We kind of knew that in January.
Duh.
Like, who was he really beating out? There may be a few people that were thinking Josh Dobbs had a legitimate chance. I know there was something that came out on one of those other sites that still said don't sleep on, because they honestly thought they were going to go Haskins and Dobbs over Rudolph, which was never going to happen this year. And probably will not happen next year either. And they may still have Ben next year. But like I said, you know what? Next year. Those two or three guys, if Ben returns or if you have to go between Haskins, Rudolph, I'm cool with that. Beyond that, it's wait and see. Because if you find out what you got next year without Ben, then you definitely know whether you got to make a move again in 2023. But these three were pretty obvious. I don't know that there's much more to say about them. The running backs, I think, is what surprised us. I thought it was really going to be three dogs, one bone, and it ended up being I don't know. I can't make a proper analogy to that. I had a coin flip between Snell and Ballage. and I didn't dislike either one of them. And I even maybe alluded to, can we trim somewhere else on the roster? And I think I actually talked myself into by the end of the show, because I had done my roster prediction like the week before. So it was even before the Panthers game. So I'm looking through old notes and I saw Cassius Marsh stuck in there somewhere. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, do they really need this guy? Maybe they'll keep an extra running back with a 17-game season. Lo and behold, here it goes. I'm not going to profess to being right because I did flip-flop on that a little bit. So I'm not just going to be like, oh, hey, look at me, I know everything. But I didn't necessarily say this wouldn't be possible. It just was. It's against what the Steelers have traditionally done with shaping their roster. So technically five running backs because they're counting Derek Watt within this position group. Kalen Ballage, Najee Harris, Anthony McFarland, Benny Snell. I said Benny Snell was going to stick. He's there. They're not ready to give up on him yet. And Ballage gets a spot as well. So I guess everyone's happy there.
Yeah, I mean, the only one which I said a long time ago was that Jalen Samuels wasn't going to make the roster. Did not. It's not surprising. I mean, Anthony McFarland's found his niche, his role. He's got his advocate in Matt Canada, because they know what he can do. That was kind of a no-brainer. You knew that was going to happen. Ballage made enough of a case in the preseason for you to think, okay, yep, he's going to stick. And you're absolutely right. The question was, do they do something that they normally never do and keep essentially five people in that room? It will not surprise me if Ballage is on the roster or Snell is on the roster, only because they eventually will get put into released when something else comes along that they need. You know what I mean? After cutdowns, it's possible. It won't surprise me.
I don't know that they're that far down. I have a few other names here.
Oh, there are other names on here too, but that's a heavy running back room for them.
It is.
So it's not going to surprise them. I'm just saying that. It's definitely more than they need, unless something else is going on that we don't know about, Snell is a little injured, and so they're keeping Ballage. And then if Snell comes back and is fine, or vice versa, who knows? This is my chop down axe. This is my cutting axe, right? Cut down time.
Brian, you can take the tags off of it. I know you got it.
No, I like it. I like my tags. I don't want to take them off. I'm taking them. I'll take the tags off when I go out and use it, which can't happen till winter unless I go someplace where, well, I'm going to Denver in a week, for work. And so maybe I don't think I can get this on the plane. Maybe in my luggage I can. Something tells me the TSA is going to be like, no, sir, you're not bringing this into the cockpit area, you weirdo bastard.
They don't have this in Pittsburgh's airport, but Cleveland does. This is a sidebar. They had I don't know that they still do, but they had. I wanted to say the last time I went through, maybe I went through a different checkpoint or something, or maybe they removed it. But they had like a giant, it was almost like a shadow box. It was behind glass, all of the contraband that's been confiscated. And I'm telling you, not only like little pen knives, and I didn't see like an ice pick like you got there in your hand. By the way, I was holding my pen for those who are just listening and not able to see this. Brian's been waving the axe over there, the black and gold axe, this whole time. But the shadow box deal there, they even had like shurikens, like the ninja stars, and even metal playing cards, like straight out of the X-Men comic book with Gambit.
There you go. Take it off.
There you go. Now it's no longer new. Now you got to break it in. So, yeah, don't try and go on the plane with that. Denver craft beer mecca, man. I've been trying. That's been on my bucket list. I'm trying to find something to do for the weekend and go somewhere interesting.
That is not what I'm going to do in
Denver. I understand. We will try and understand.
Shall I just say?
You're going to be a mile high, aren't you?
It's 420 somewhere.
That's what I meant, man. You're going to be a mile high. Okay, so the wide receiver group.
hey, that's a perfect lead-in.
That is, but I guess it is. I don't know.
I don't know.
You don't have Martavis on the roster anymore. Whoa. But
Or AB. So, hey, there you go.
Well, I don't know that AB was the.
Oh, yeah.
No, that dude. I think he was into some harder stuff, man. I don't think he was just a weed guy. Anyways, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Ray McCloud, Juju Smith-Schuster survives the milk crate challenge, of which, folks, Mike Tomlin didn't say anything about him direct. He was asked about this or asked about whatever social media and these different things. And he made a very annoyed comment to this reporter back. He knew what the reporter was talking about. He did not play into it. And someone still found a way to take those words out of context and make some clickbait story out of it. So don't be gullible. Don't fall for that one. James Washington. We're going to just start being Steel City Underground anti-clickbait show. And we're going to talk about all the different crap because half of it is I'm annoyed. And here's the other guy, James Washington. Oh, hey, look, not traded yet. Ask for it. Who knows? That was a Mark Madden thing, too. You know, I don't put a lot of stock.
You know what? I'm done with that guy. I'm not going into the oven to fight Mark Madden.
Well, don't talk about him with the axe in your hand. That could maybe get you in trouble in today's
social media. Mark, this is not for you, my friend. This is not for you. I would never hit you with an ice axe.
Just the 30 styles boxing.
Different kind of axe. Yeah. I'll bring the hammer. I'll bring the hammer, but not the axe.
Tight end group, man. The guy I was standing for. Let's see if he gets back to the practice squad. Kevin Raiders.
Could.
Kevin Raiders out. Yeah. I had a feeling they would go with Zach Gentry here because he was drafted. That's not without the realm of plausibility there. So Eric Ebron, Pat Freiermuth, or the other two. There were people thinking Eric Ebron was going to get cut. He offers too much to be on this roster and create mismatches in addition to Pat Freiermuth. Why would you let this guy go? I'll even go this far. If Ebron doesn't have like dropsy problems or some attitude problems or something else that gets him ousted, he'll be brought back next year. Because he's not like a very expensive player in the grand scheme of things, and Pat will still be under a rookie contract. They won't have that much money invested at the tight end spot where they couldn't afford to bring him back. And I know that'll make some people cringe. You need one of these guys to block. The other guy could kind of half-ass it and chip someone at the best, as long as he could catch the ball. That's always been the knock on him over all these years, but he caught it a lot with the Colts a couple of years ago. So we'll see if
he did
magic. Offensive line, man, this is the one I don't think we saw coming, and I don't know why we didn't talk about it sooner. And that's BJ Finney getting cut out of all this. And I didn't mention some other names. Let me go back before I go to the offensive line. Who else did I miss? Rico Bussey and Cody White. I didn't think they – maybe practice squad type guys. Trey Edmonds.
Yep.
ESPN put out
a little bit surprising, but not that big.
Brother of Terrell and, you know, and Tremaine gets cut. It's like, yeah, this guy's always been a bubble guy and practice squad guy.
Absolutely.
So of the offensive lineman group, Rashad Coward, BJ Finney, Chaz Green, and John LeGlue, that was pretty much what I felt. I thought I was surprised they only kept eight here. There could be something else coming. But BJ Finney, I don't know why we didn't talk about this at all. He had already been gone. They didn't bring him back last year. I think they brought him back more as kind of insurance, but they hadn't had him play center. It's been Green, like a lot of Green, Hassenauer a little bit, and then LeGlue, who comes in as, I believe, an offensive tackle, and he was even taking snaps in practice. I'm like, well, they're not looking at BJ Finney to play center whatsoever. And you start to look at the composition of this team, and it's like, okay. There's no guards. That's like the one thing I think that's kind of interesting out of all of this. Who do you have now besides BJ Finney? I think that's the thing that surprises me most. I wonder if there's something more at play. I wonder if he's catch release material, because when we get the defensive linemen, we don't know. They have quite a few of them, and we don't know the status of Stephon Tuitt. Jerry Dulac reporting he could go on IR. So then that opens up a roster spot, and maybe they bring BJ Finney back, because I'm looking at this, Brian. You've got Zach Banner, tackle. Okay. Dotson's going to be a starting guard. Kendrick Green should be the starting center, regardless of what else you've seen out there, all indications. Joe Haig is a tackle. Hassenauer is a center and guard. So there's your main primary backup, but there's only one, because Dan Moore is a tackle. Chukwuma Okorafor is a tackle, and then Trey Turner will be the other starting guard. You need at least eight, I think, in order to get that, what did I say, the two extra players that are protected, moved up, 55 on game day or that week, blah, 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 protected players, yada, yada. So the Finney one was the most surprising. I think you feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about in the back rooms, you know, it's interesting to watch how they utilized him in preseason and where they utilized him, as you were just saying. And we just, for whatever reason, didn't focus on that. It was almost kind of like we thought, oh, it's fait accompli, right? BJ Finney. They brought him back. They like him. It's that nice story about when he got drafted. This is his favorite team of all time, blah, 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 all that crap, right? But if you go back with a more analytical eyeball, something was up. I mean, you know, something was up. They brought him in because there was familiarity there, because they knew they had issues there. Maybe they just feel like, hey, you know, we addressed our issues. It won't surprise me. The other part of this that did surprise me is, yeah, only having 8 offensive linemen. Normally they carry 9. And so that's a little odd. But, you know, it is what it is. I won't be surprised to see Finney come back. I won't be surprised if they make a move to pick up a different offensive lineman at some point. And one of these other, I don't want to call them bubble players, but guys who are on the fringe that made the roster may go if that occurs. And maybe Finney's play really has just regressed overall. Who knows?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I was just more or less kind of surprised. But here, you got a game of cat and mouse. The players you're retaining, and this is going to come up when we bring up like Jahmyr Jones and some other players here too that are on the fringe.
Yeah.
You're dealing with waiver wire rules that I explained earlier. Finney is not subject to that. He is a
full-out
free agent vested veteran. So, BJ, bring him on the side. Hey, look, we got to do this in order to make the 53. We got some other moves and transactions we're going to be making where we, you know, stay close to your phone. Could be something like that. We saw this happen before. At least one name that comes to mind, Steven Johnson, a few years ago. Same difference. I believe he was a vested veteran as well. So it's a cat and mouse game of, will these guys sign somewhere else? Will they get plucked off of waivers somewhere else? When you don't have to worry about waivers, it's one less risk when you're trying to shape all of this. And you got to get to it on the 53 in order to put him on IR for designation of return. Just to explain that, because we're going into the defensive lineman right now and who made the team. He's dealing with the death of his brother. Hit and run crash. And this happened in June. And he's just kind of been... he's been grieving. I believe it's a mental process for him, a mental healing process. And we'll see if and when he's ready, because he has not been practicing. A lot of people haven't been close to the story. They're jumping into football season right now after laying off for the offseason. Some people ignore the preseason. Some people, casual fans, asking what's going on with Stephon Tuitt, because they were talking about, hey, the Steelers kept, what, 8 defensive linemen here, which is an exceptional number when we're talking about what they usually hold on to. And this may be, according to Jerry Dulac, the first one I saw that reported it, they may put him on injured reserve. Well, now that he's on the 53, sit out 3 weeks or however long it needs to be. When they designate him, he'll return in 3 weeks. They'll get him practicing. They'll get him in game shape. And he'll be back on the roster. So in essence, when they do that, it's going to free up a roster spot. They'll have 7 defensive linemen, and then perhaps somebody else gets signed from somewhere else, or they bring back a guy like Finney. I don't know. So, and I'm not banging the drum to bring back Finney. I just think 8 linemen. We'll see what ends up with the practice squad too. Coward could even be another guy to come back, because they had him working out as guard, and he is a veteran player. So I believe Coward may be vested. I'm not going to look, because not to be blunt, but it's not that important in the grand scheme here. Stephon Tuitt is important. So with what happened with his younger brother, there may be some other things going on here. All indications are Chris Wormley, who's looked good this preseason, would be the guy to step in for him. Tyson Alualu will, of course, be in that rotation. A lot of times the Steelers with the front 4 would be Hayward, Tuitt, and then T.J. Watt. And last year was Bud Dupree, but now it'll be Alex Highsmith. So the 8 defensive linemen on the roster, Alualu, both Isaiah Buggs and Carlos Davis end up making it. Your favorite, number 97, the grown-ass man, Cameron Hayward, out of the Ohio State University. 11 years, man. Him and Alualu, they're getting up there. Alualu's older, though. Got 2 years on him based on the birthdays. Isaiah Loudermilk, who's impressed me. Henry Mondow, that was a surprise that I thought. We're in the old 99. He's been hanging around, but I thought it was a surprise he made to 53. Of course, Stephon Tuitt and then Chris Wormley. Mondow, I think, is more of a special teams guy, especially if Tuitt can't go. Any thoughts on this particular group? I think it was pretty, I don't want to say cut and dry. I wasn't sure that Buggs and Davis both make it. But Mondale being in there is, I think, a little bit of a surprise to me.
Mondale, I think they really like Mondale. They've appeared to like him consistently over the last couple years, giving him opportunities. So it's not like a super surprise, right, to me. He played some snaps. He's got some experience as a spot player. As a backup, I think it's fine. You know what I mean? I actually was surprised that both Bugs and Davis made it. I kind of thought they would go one way or the other, but maybe that has to do with what they're going to do with Stephon Tuitt. And as you said, same kind of thing. And I wasn't, even though I understand and I don't disagree with you about Loudermilk, I was actually a little surprised that he didn't just end up being somebody they were going to put on the practice squad, because I don't know that he made enough name for himself in these games for him to have been pulled off of the waiver wire. Lower round draft pick that people thought was a reach. I didn't see it. But again, same thing. If they've got the room and they want to keep him protected and you don't need to worry about it, but something else may change if Stephon Tuitt comes back off, who knows?
I got something to add to that, and I'm not sure I've ever clarified my thoughts as to why the Steelers reached, so to speak, in the fifth round, traded a future pick to get back in since they didn't have one to grab Loudermilk. And I think something spooked them. They got wind.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
They got wind that someone somewhere or someones were interested, so I'm not sure that they would have exposed him as much as, former, Bugs was maybe a sixth rounder, and then Davis was a seventh rounder. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I don't know. He's impressed me enough, but again, like you said, how many open spots are there on a 53-man roster where another team's going to pluck him? They would have to be pretty needy on the defensive line. And then again, yeah, he's a developmental type of player. It's not like he's been on the roster for 2 or 3 years and some other team's like, hey, we're going to get somebody that's at least not brand new to this experience, that's been right, coached up somewhere in the NFL and can maybe plug in here. He's not quite in that situation just yet. We've got 10 linebackers here on the Steelers roster. Way more.
11 if you count the long snapper, who's also listed as a linebacker long snapper.
Yeah, man, and Vince Williams is still kind of on this when it gets totally printed out, since he's on like the reserve retired part of the list, but he doesn't count against the 53. Marcus Allen. Okay, there's a guy I thought might be. There's a lot of bubble guys here, to be completely honest. Marcus, yeah, Allen. Devin Bush is not a bubble guy, but Ulysses Gilbert III is. Okay, yep. We got Alex Highsmith, Melvin Ingram. No surprises there. Buddy Johnson is a name that didn't stand out to me. Jameer Jones, and I was asked about this. You guys didn't cover more or less me because, you were off with your daughter and stuff like that. So I've been woefully ignorant of the defense for the most part because they played so vanilla. I've seen guys like Arthur Motes rack up like 3 sacks. I've seen Tazar Skipper. I was just kind of like, oh, this is another guy. So Jameer Jones making this roster did surprise me, especially over a draft pick in Quincy Roach. That was interesting to me. Joe Schobert, Robert Spillane, who I think a lot of people soured on, but again, look at who he's playing around too. He doesn't have a whole lot of help and really, really looks exposed out there with some guys, yeah, too. So, but special teams, definitely a special teams type guy. And of course, TJ Watt, who we said will get paid at some point this year, next year. He ain't going nowhere. This isn't Le'Veon Bell. This isn't Antonio Brown, okay? And even Antonio, yeah, Brown got paid and Le'Veon Bell was offered. So, and who am I missing? Was there somebody else that got
paid? Miles
cut out
Killebrew
of this group?
Is listed as a linebacker. Miles Killebrew.
With the Steelers? He's, yeah, a safety, though. He's played safety,
I know,
with the Lions.
I'm just saying that's what he's listed as.
Was he really? Hold on.
I'm on the site right now. I'm looking at their roster. They have him listed as a linebacker.
Well, it depends which site you're on. The media one has him listed as a safety. And then you have some goofy stuff, too, because Trey Norwood is listed as a DB. Just as, yeah, DB. And that drives me absolutely crazy. The regulars, yeah, the regular Steelers site. Oh, Ed, Cassius Marsh. And I don't know why, like, it took me going through that show, like, I'm like, wait a minute, why am I, like, backing this guy? I was calling him a revolving door in that playoff game. It brought him back in camp. Let's see if he's got anything else. He was here. It's one of those guys that could also help aid maybe the development of other guys, their competition, et cetera. Quincy Roach surprised me. Jamar Watson was the other one that's listed here as well. And we may as well just go into the DBs and then just knock this whole thing out. Terrell Edmonds, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Joe Hayden. Not a surprise. Miles Killebrew.
Nope.
Is there? What? Miles Killebrew.
Did we not say he's the new Rodney Dangerfield or Jordan Dangerfield or, you know, get no respect, but he'll make the roster for like the next 8 years?
Who, Killebrew? May. I mean, that was when Terrell Austin was in Detroit, that was one of his guys. So it was that connection there I thought was going to work. And he looked like the primary backup at one of the safety spots. But Trey Norwood's working in there, also working as nickel corner. Several nickel corners released around and corners released around the league. A little bit of smoke and fire to that, too, as to whether they're going to add some names to this list. But Justin Lane, I already mentioned Norwood, James Pierre, Cameron Sutton. And ladies and gentlemen, that's your Steelers defense right there. The names that were released, Mark Gilbert, probably a spot on the practice squad for him. Arthur Millette was kind of interesting because I thought they were giving him a pretty solid look, but then he got hurt in that dress rehearsal game and couldn't show anything. Of course, Brooks is on injured reserve. He boomeranged back there, so he's on hold for the rest of the year. He won't get a shot at that position whatsoever. And then Donovan Steiner. So they may still be looking for something. Sutton moving maybe to nickel corner and James Pierre on the outside for this week one game, but maybe they add somebody. There's some names that have visited before, been part of that. Nickel Roby Coleman is one, I think, that was floating around. There's a few others that I don't have off the top of my head at the moment.
Joseph, isn't that one, the guy that the Raiders released?
Oh, Carl Joseph, yes.
Yeah, Carl Joseph's a possibility. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's a reason that these guys are getting released, though. So,
but Carl Joseph is a backup safety, and maybe they kind of play him as like a dimebacker type role. Maybe we'll see
possible.
If he's capable of doing something like that. I was my speculation of what they wanted to do with Malik Hooker. Maybe they didn't like the medicals. They brought Joseph in. They talked to him during the offseason. I mean, he came off of Cleveland. I mean, if you leave that, if you couldn't make the impact on that secondary the last few seasons, that's not exactly the greatest sign. But I'm not looking for him to be like, you know, I'm not looking for him to play for Edmonds or Fitzpatrick's spot and play 60 snaps a game. I'm looking at like 15 snaps where he might line up on a running back or a tight end or something. That might be worth looking at is all I'm saying compared to what is currently on the roster.
Right. Absolutely. I got no objections with that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing up Joseph. That was the name I completely forgot. He was somebody we loved in the draft process. He went like 15th overall or whatever to the Raiders originally. So that was pretty interesting. Then, of course, we already let the cat out of the bag, finished the show with the bang. We already talked about Presley Harvin winning the punting battle that wasn't.
The battle that was not.
He had that thing sewn up in the first game. Chris Boswell returns, but he's got a new long snapper in addition to the new holder, which will be Harvin, and then the long snapper, Christian Kuntz. Long snapper from Duquesne. That'll really tick off a lot of people that are in the Pittsburgh area.
I can't pronounce anything, so I'm not even trying. But I know it's Duquesne, so I can say it. But if I didn't know it, right, and you, I would do the same thing. I'd be like, Disquana. Disquens College, University, whatever it is.
Small FCS school, and yeah. Rooney Field that's there. Cool place. It's a really neat little intimate atmosphere, but it's not very large. If you were to go watch a game there, it's smaller than high school venues. But it's,
I would like to clarify one thing about our big fat punter.
Okay.
Our big fat punter also can drop a dime. Did you see that highlight that was going around Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that now we got the trickery. Trickeration can be happening, and the dude can drop a dime. That dude won that job the minute he was drafted. Come on, let's be real.
You know, there's a lot of hate on Jordan Berry.
Not for me.
No.
Other than the fact that he was on steroids.
Inconsistent sometimes. Yeah, how many punters in the NFL are? There could be bad punts here or there.
Almost all of them.
It's the same thing. He does it in prime time or a game where everybody's watching versus the one on Sundays where somebody has to take the kid to a party or a birthday party and they miss it. They don't get to see it on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday nights where, you know, then he does make a bad play in prime time and then he gets, you know, the scarlet letter, so to speak, and that's all people think about. This guy's a bum all because of, like, one – like, I go to a food place. It's like, this guy has one bad punt. I go to a food place. My uncle's like this. Let's say like a pizza. He goes to one of these pizza chains or something and has one bad experience there and never eat there again. The rest of your life? Like, go to the other one across town. Come back another time when the same people aren't working. Maybe under new management. Who knows what the situation might be. That's just, you know, now if I have multiple bad experiences, I'm not going to be the sucker that keeps going back either. But, like, you know, bad things happen once or twice here or there. It's nobody's perfect. The people who think, like, this is John Madden football video game, or it's just Madden now. It's just like Madden 22. Doo-doo. And you screw up playing the game, too. The video game. So these guys screw up in real life. They're only human. And some of them are only as good as their ability. And by the way, the Madden ratings, they have no love for anybody that's on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster whatsoever.
Who cares?
Just absolutely. No, who cares? I do. Because it's a lack of respect. We need
I
to
don't
respect.
Care.
Disrespect.
No, we don't.
No, I really
disrespect
don't.
This constantly because you know what it'll do? See, I'll tell you who cares. The players actually seem to care about what their Madden rating is. Why? Because they all play it and they all want to be able to say, oh, my Madden rating's better than you. So they actually care. So go ahead. Make all the Steelers players have a 2. I don't know what the hell the numbers mean anyway because I don't care. But make them mad. I'll be ecstatic because they'll play angry and I like it.
I told you many years ago, it was like one of the early 2000s Madden games that Ike Taylor had the absolute worst overall rating in the entire game. It might have been his rookie year as a corner. It's funny I remember that. But
yeah, for one year I played Madden when we were doing the Madden previews on the show and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'd show the little, fake clips that we automated in there and from the Madden games as our prediction of the game.
Oh,
I played
so
for
bad.
That year. And you know what I did? I gave every Steelers player, I just modified their rankings all the way up to 100 for everything. And it was like, screw it. I never lost a game. I don't care.
And that's why when we got the simulation from Brian where the Steelers won like 84-0,
yes.
It wasn't very realistic. It wasn't much of a simulation.
No.
Brian, my friend, I don't know. I'm trying to think if I have any other closing thoughts. Most of these were on the money. I don't know. I didn't see the Cam Candidate thing necessarily coming. I knew he had gotten sick or ill or something and wasn't practicing in that final game, but maybe he was on the hot seat to begin with. But is it that surprising? No, teams, these specialists, like we say, it's like changing your socks and underwear's drawer. It's just day by day, man. These guys are always battling. If I had to look, though, for some players that are on the lower end of this, perhaps you might be right with one of the running backs if they're subject to waivers now. As teams are already forming their 53 and get it solidified, it no longer means that they have 48 that are in position and like maybe 5 names that they're willing to part with. They're going to do that process, and then they may only have 1 or 2. And 1 or 2 of those may not line up with a running back, or let's say it's somebody like Jameer Jones or one of the defensive linemen like Carlos Davis. So I think some of these guys or Henry Mondow, maybe one of the guys on the lower end of this, I think it still gets shaped a little bit as we go forward. But it's less risky now, I think, for the Steelers to make those moves as opposed to the initial cuts where everybody's looking, okay, what can we get here, there, or otherwise? So we'll still see those bottom, 5 to 8 spots are always up for grabs. And it's not necessarily the player's fault that's in question either. As much as some people are like, well, this guy's a bum. That's not always the reason. That guy could lose his job just because there's an injury at another position and they need to grab somebody to fill that spot. I think, though, the new injured reserve rules in the 3-week turnaround it will help and is going to help a lot with changing that. But still, if it's like a week-to-week thing and you need an extra offensive lineman because you've only got 8 on the roster right now and you drop to 7 and you got to have blah, 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 blah. So you're going to have like 2-3 guys in reserve on the bench maybe, things like that. I don't know. I'm spitballing, but I think you get the picture I'm painting.
Absolutely. No. So it's all good.
All good.
The axe gets to go away until next year now, unless I want to cut a ref.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I don't care. Wait, I don't care.
This is how they do it in the NFL.
No. I don't care.
Tap the shoulders.
I don't care.
Time out.
I'm going to complain about referees because gosh darn it, and I almost did the GD, full GD there, but gosh darn it, that's my right as a football fan to complain about the refs, and I've always stated this in front of my fact that the refs all stink. It's this. They never really generally determine the outcome of the game, except that one game in New Orleans that they screwed up the pass interference call that cost New Orleans that game. That was it, or whoever they cost the game of. Generally speaking, yeah, I know Jesse caught it. I know. Generally speaking, they don't ruin the games. The players decide the game on the field, but the refs still suck.
Heads or tails, Jerome?
Yeah, well, I don't know that that decided the game. It was bad, but it didn't necessarily have to decide the game.
Well, my friend, it's about that time. Just put a hook up behind you and hang that thing, because that's what I was going to tell you. You're not putting that away for the season. You look like a mascot. So, anyways, that my friends, he got me cracking up with that. It reminded me of the hilltopper or whatever that was, the mountain climber on The Price is Right that yodels. And he's got like... please don't. Let's not do that. The 2%ers now have become a 1%er.
I'm sorry. I apologize, 2%ers. I apologize.
My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and leave a favorable review, because, you know, there's trolls out there that don't leave the good ones, and we wouldn't mind seeing that rating a little higher. But for those of you who have left, the good stuff out there. Thank you very much for supporting the platform here at Steel City Underground. Don't forget, we got stuff over at steelcityunderground.com as well. And we'll be coming back to you. Got some different media appearances I'm bouncing around on, Brian. So follow us both in the Steel City Underground account over on Twitter. And we can, and you can see where else I may be lending some opinions on other podcasts, other radio and media programming out there, TV shows and whatnot, because getting quite a few inquiries for week one with the Steelers and the Bills in particular, and heading into the beginning of the NFL season. So more than likely, we're going to take a little break and then come back around at the beginning of next week, unless we have some big news, some big name added or something like that, then we'll add our 2 cents as usual. So Brian, thanks for joining me once again, my friend. And that'll put an end to it for this particular program. So, folks, once again, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. We encourage everyone out there, as always, until next time, be safe, especially with that thing in your hand, Brian. Be safe. I'm telling you, be safe. You'll put an eye out. Be good.
Please clarify, thing in my hand means axe.
Axe, with the axe in his hand. Be safe, be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.